Joining us in studio, Major David Katz. David, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Very well, thank you.
Good. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there was a, I felt pretty uninspired. I mean, I've got to say to you, for me to get up and go and vote, which I did.
I see that by your thumb.
Out of a pure sense of what you're talking about, is that I think it's a precious thing to do.
And people have fought
so hard to do it. But I tell you, I was totally uninspired. I mean, I walked to those polls and I looked down that list of 48 parties and I was absolutely uninspired. And eventually I put my cross. And I didn't feel great about it, but I did it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, that's what's
important.
And
I perfectly understand somebody who would turn around and say, no, there was nothing there for them. Because that in itself is an indicator, is a vote. To not go and vote. I mean, I don't think we can point fingers and say, listen, I mean, as long as you took a conscious decision.
As long as it's not laziness. As long as it's not it should have been on an app, otherwise I really can't be bothered.
Or a spoiled paper or something.
You know, in Australia, you're not allowed to not vote. You have to vote.
Yes.
So
I like that.
Which I think is quite interesting. I think maybe people should be forced to, even if you spoil your ballot, but then you're still there and you're still forced to think about it rather than being able to kind of remove yourself, stay home and watch Netflix.
I can't believe that our freedom and the progress of the country has been reduced to a matter of convenience.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's not correct. No, I agree with you with that.
Sure.
I mean, I agree with you with that. But there's no doubt about that, that a lot of people, the reason why the poll is low is not because people were lazy. I don't believe that.
They were just uninspired. Maybe it's part of the same thing.
I'm putting myself in other people's feet, and I'm saying, telling you how I felt. I felt pretty, and I'm a pretty inspired person about election time. I mean, I think it's your duty to go out and vote. I'll tell you, time around. But
what do you think of somebody saying, these kids saying that, you know, no, unless you have an app, there's no chance I'm voting. O'Brien says there were no apps in 94. Of course not. But I mean, that's the point. You had to go and stand there.
I think it's a pretty enjoyable experience because you go there.
I absolutely enjoyed it in this banter in the crowd. Just for that alone, I would have voted twice.
And I mean, I think that's a great experience. And I felt a little, standing in the crowd, I felt a little bit better about what I was doing because you feel like you're together. We're here together. We're trying to solve a problem.
Right.
And I feel that pretty much now, by the way. After all is said and done, and I think we just got to get back to business, all of us. I mean, we've got to stop with this thinking along party lines now. I think we've all got to knuckle in and get down to business and make this work. And I think that's the general feeling after this election. That's certainly how I feel now, is that I'm not inspired with party lines. I just want to go with people who want
with
to make
good
a contribution.
People, with
yeah,
good
absolutely.
People.
Want to make a contribution and get this right. And I think maybe there's a chance now that there is that type of feeling here. Let's get back to business. Let's get this thing done. Let's just pull all together and let's do it.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. One of the things that I wanted to chat to you about is what is very clearly an incredible amount of increase tension in the Middle East, and that is in connection with Iran and the United States. We've had the United States sending ships over there that almost as a way of warning Iran and saying, just be very, very careful because we are here. We are not far from you at all. The war talk has escalated quite dramatically. What on earth is going on in the region?
Well, I think certainly the Iranian regime now feels under pressure because they haven't. They are under extreme pressure to deliver economically in their own country. And they almost pulled the bunny out of the hat with the deal that they had with Europe and the United States, the nuclear deal. That's gone by the wayside now. And I think there's massive disappointment amongst the rank and file of the Iranians. And certainly that's been suppressed by the Iranian government. And now the Americans have put on a new tranche of sanctions that's really, really going to bite the Iranians. And this is affecting the regime. And there's going to be a groundswell of resistance that they're going to have to suppress. So
the Iranian people are going to resist the Iranian government.
Well, I think we've seen signs of that.
We definitely have all the
way through. And I mean, it can only be exacerbated now as the economic situation deteriorates, as new American sanctions begin to bite deeper and deeper. So the Iranian regime is going to find itself in a more precarious position, and they will do desperate things to stay in power. And one of the best things you can turn to, always at the end of the day, to solidify your political position, is to create that outside enemy that everybody can solidify behind. And this is most probably the move that they're going to make. They're going to rattle the sabers and create enemies outside the country to defocus people off the economic position that they're in. Yeah. The usual. But it's a very dangerous situation, obviously, for everybody in the Middle East now. It's going to destabilize to a further extent.
Do you think Iran actually wants war, or they just want to create this feeling of an identifiable enemy?
They stand no chance in a conventional war. Mm. I mean, they are totally outclassed by the Israelis, they're outclassed by the Americans, and they stand no chance. So obviously they would just prefer to saber rattle and not have a small incident. Most probably a small incident would work for them to solidify the country behind
them. Well, there does seem to be a lot of reports saying that the reason that the United States moved their ships or a ship into the area was because they had intel that there was going to be some form of an attack on American interests. So would that have been exactly what it is that you were talking about?
I'm sure the Americans also have various reasons for doing that, as a show of strength, as a show of solidarity to their allies in the Middle East, as a warning to Iran. And also, they could have had intelligence as to an incident that might occur there. So it's a show of force, just showing the Iranians that they're there, they've got a presence, and they're going to have to behave militarily. Otherwise, they're going to be punished severely for it. And there's no doubt about it that the Americans have the firepower to inflict that type of punishment on them, very severely and very one-sidedly.
Right. And of course, the fact is that it's taking place in Iran's backyard, not in America's backyard, the conflict.
Yes, absolutely. And
that puts Iran at a severe disadvantage.
At a severe disadvantage. And I mean, we could say quite clearly that the Americans could foresee this type of situation. Certainly while they tightened the screws, the economic screws, they know that the political and military situation is going to deteriorate.
As they become more desperate, I would imagine.
Absolutely. So they must have planned ahead for this. They know where this is going. Mm. I'm sure Israel knows where this is going. And everybody's fully prepared for what's going to happen.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think there's going to be a show of force at some stage. If the economic situation continues to deteriorate, the Iranians are going to be forced into a situation where they're going to have some show of force in the area somewhere along the line to solidify the population behind them. So there could be a show of force in the near future. Yeah, I believe that.
Do you think that Iran has nuclear capability?
No, I don't. Not nuclear weapon capability.
Right.
It's got a nuclear capability. I'm not running a nuclear power plant.
Right, but it's unlikely. But it's still more likely to be a conventional war at this point. Then,
well, certainly a conventional strike
or altercation, whatever it would be.
It could be. Yes.
Right. I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 0618951019. Time is 8:20. Jenny says South Africa should legislate voting. In other words, compel people to vote on election day. What do you think about that? I would love your thoughts. I just don't know how on earth South Africa could police that when they can't police very much else. In Canada, Brazil, and Australia, voting is legislated. You cannot open a bank account or apply for social grants, get a driver's license, etc., without a voting stamp.
Yeah, can I give you a story about good citizenship?
Mm-hmm. I love one.
I was on the shooting range with the SANDF, and we shot together with the Swiss Rifle Club. I don't know if you've ever heard about the Swiss Rifle Club. I certainly didn't.
No.
We sat in on our committee meetings on how to keep the range clean and the safety precautions on the range. And one day I got very, very curious. I saw the Swiss Rifle Club on the shooting range, and I walked up to the guy over there, and I saw that they had military-type weapons, which got me even more interested. And I said to them, what is going on here? I thought you were just a bunch of Swiss guys that shot in South Africa. He says, no, not at all. Every Swiss citizen has to shoot his military weapon, no matter where they are in the world, and it gets stamped into their passport. So once a year, every Swiss citizen reports at a shooting range in the country that they're residing in, and they go and shoot, and they have to achieve a certain proficiency, and that gets stamped in their passport, otherwise they lose their citizenship.
Unbelievable.
So that's how seriously they take their citizenship. So can you imagine the voting? So right. There's no ways, I mean, I would just guess, I don't know, but there's no ways that a Swiss citizen is going to miss voting, guaranteed.
That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Neil says, morning, Tim Howard. We don't have any inspiring motivating political leaders. As Major Katz says, we should have a common goal and all work together to achieve it. As the scripture says, as steel sharpens steel, so we sharpen each other. Thank you, Neil. Nice one indeed.
Absolutely.
Jonathan Goldberg says the sanctions that the USA have imposed are the most extreme since the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s. Throwing additional military presence in the area, and it's like putting a cat in the corner. It's going to come out fighting. I think the USA wants Iran to stop their shadow proxy wars rather than expose them for who they are, i.e. a power keg waiting to go off. Interesting one. What do you think?
I think there's an element of truth in that. Absolutely. Yeah. Well observed. I think that's exactly what's happening over there.
So they're almost trying to draw them out rather than have them focus on funding Hezbollah, Hamas, and all of these other terror organizations.
Be behind a sort of a safety net where they're selling their oil all over the world and normalizing their political situation, but behind the scenes they're sort of funding all
they're almost going directly to it and say, listen, we're not pretending anymore. We're not fighting Hamas and Hezbollah. We're coming for you. We're going to deal with you because you are the cause. Interesting observation indeed. It's just gone 8:30. We're going to come back to this straight after news headlines.
In your headlines, 6 people killed in Burkina Faso church attack, 20 gunmen fired at the congregation and burnt down the church, 3 people charged for planning Tel Aviv beach shooting, the East Jerusalem residents were going to attack on behalf of Hamas. Ramaphosa says the ANC has learned its lesson. The ANC won the general elections with a historic low score, and JMPD officers save abandoned baby. The baby was taken by EMS to the Charlotte Matlega Academic Hospital. Catch the full bulletin at 9.
Thanks, Zanati. Time has just gone 8:30. In the studio with me, Major David Katz. We are talking about the tension in the Middle East, directly relations with Iran and the United States. So you think something is going to give, something is going to happen. There's going to be some kind of an altercation before it stops.
Well, I think something is already happening. I mean, we're seeing all the proxy wars in that region, and perhaps now it's going to be a time for the inciters of the proxy wars to actually have to deal militarily with the issue at hand. I think that's what the Americans are trying to draw out. They're trying to stop the Iranian influence in the area, which has been totally destabilizing.
Right. So do you think that if Iran has to focus on America as an enemy, then it's less likely that they will continue to fund Hezbollah and Hamas?
No, I don't doubt that. I think that's part of their strategy. I think it's absolutely part of their strategy, and it's inherent. It's in their genetics, and I think that's what they're going to continue doing. I don't believe that for one moment that the American strategy is going to result in them withdrawing their military and political aid to the various groups that they're already funding at this
point. Right, especially because it is so well entrenched and such a sophisticated system. I mean, they sit with representatives in the Lebanese parliament. They're doing direct deals with Hamas. We've seen evidence of all of this.
Certainly. I mean, the Iranians are not the only ones that are playing the power game. The Saudi Arabians are also playing the power game.
Mm.
And
in this regard, just remind us, the Saudi Arabians are very much the mortal enemy of Iran, so they would be supporting the United States in this regard.
The United States and Saudi Arabia and Israel and a couple of the other countries over there have got an axe against the Iranians and their acolytes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm, there's a power struggle going on right now.
Right, absolutely indeed. So, how do you think, I mean, there's no doubt that over the last years through the Trump administration, there's been a lot more acceptance and exposure of what Iran is really up to. Before this current political era, there was a lot of talk about it. There was everybody suggesting that this was the case, but it didn't really take on accepted knowledge, become accepted knowledge. Today it is. Therefore, Iran is in a very, very difficult position in this regard. They're completely economically isolated. They've turned to Europe. Europe has let them down. They are now desperate, and they are angry, and they are genocidal. It's petrifying.
I think what Iran tried to do is what the North Koreans have done more successfully, is play a bit of brinkmanship on the nuclear side. Mm. And bring the Europeans and the Americans to the negotiating table, and they almost succeeded in doing that, and lifting the economic sanctions against them, and using their oil power to become a political powerhouse in the region. And they almost achieved that, and I think with Trump coming in, the whole thing fell to pieces. And the Europeans can't carry it off themselves. I think the Europeans are quite disturbed that the Americans pulled out, and they would have wanted to see some type of a political and economic settlement in that area. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be pulled off, because the Iranians now are more worried about the Americans than they worry about the Europeans, and they're starting to saber rattle. And the Europeans are going to have to fall in behind the Americans politically at the end of the day. So the situation is deteriorating politically, and the Iranians are finding themselves in the corner. They haven't managed to pull it off, but I think it's by hair's breadth. And one of the powers that was extremely upset about the whole Iran deal was Israel. Israel always carried the banner against the whole Iran deal, because I think everybody saw through the potential danger, and it was only a 10-year contract. It bought time for 10 years. And the Israelis certainly saw through it. They were very vociferous about it. But I think the Europeans were going to try and modify Iran's behavior through this deal, whether that's possible or not. Is it even possible to modify their behavior? But I think they were going to try and, through giving them an economic stake, try and normalize the behavior of Iran in the region. Anyway, it hasn't come off, and now it's left with the situation. Back to square one, basically.
And Paul wants to know, are the issues with Iran a way to deflect a possible impeachment of Donald Trump, especially after the Mueller report?
Listen, it's always a possibility that politicians, when in trouble, will try and deflect the situation by creating an incident elsewhere. Mm. But I think Donald Trump is pretty secure at this stage of the game politically.
I don't think he has a problem.
I mean, he said this straight out. I mean, this has been one of his election strategies 2 years ago, to say that he's canning this deal. He's going to put pressure on the Iranians. I mean, I don't think he's done anything that we're surprised about.
That was one of his election promises. Absolutely. It was very clear.
He's done nothing that we're surprised about over here. I think everybody saw this coming.
Absolutely right. Time is 8:36. In just a few moments, we are going to continue this conversation.